Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs are what we call comparisons. In other words, you got the good and you got the bad. It's your choice. And you are responsible when you step up to the plate. It's your choice in your life, how your life goes. You know, you can't point a finger at somebody else. You know, it's a real old world. And when you choose, Proverbs always gives you the outcome of decisions and a comparison there too, which makes it a fantastic book in understanding life, vocation, business, whatever the case may be, how to be successful, how to be happy. Chapter 13, verse 1, let's go with it, kind of a new thought. It's that word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, "A wise son heareth his father's instructions." That's to say corrections or discipline, okay? "But a scorner heareth not rebuke." Now, in the first place, correction, sparing the rod will spoil the child, okay? And there are many ways that the rod is produced. A shepherd always carries a staff. And simply good advice shows your love for the child. And they may not like it too much at the moment, but that love still is instilled with discipline. And that's what, and that good advice will always be successful. But if scorning takes place and will not receive rebuke or correction, trouble's ahead. Okay? It's the child's choice. Verse 2, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence." In other words, a man, by a man's mouth, he is successful, whatever his vocation may be, in his business, in whatever it is he does, by putting this in gear before the lips speak, okay, by thinking, by using common sense. It makes you successful. Always, whatever you're doing, do it better than anyone else, and you'll always be successful. I don't care what it is. Okay, even if it's planting seeds of God's Word, do it better than anyone else. With clarity, simplicity, in the same way that Christ taught, and you'll always be successful. But at the same time, I want you to note that it's the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He's going to have an untimely end. Okay, that's what it means. and violence beget violence. Okay, it does. Verse 3. "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." I would, instead of keepeth, translate it guards. He that guards his mouth keepeth his life. "But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." It'll ruin him. In other words, it's what we call a ratchet jaw. Just yakety, 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 talk, 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 and never says anything. But "he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." Always put your brain in gear with common sense before you open your mouth, and you'll be a lot better off, okay? And again, this has nothing to do with humor. Okay, humor is always A-okay. You know, as long as it is not offensive, as long as it doesn't hurt, or as long as it doesn't do damage to one's property. Verse 4: "The soul, of the sluggard." Sluggard, of course, is the lazy person. "The soul of the sluggard desireth, and he hath nothing." Well, he's never. "Well, I'll get a job tomorrow. I'll get around to it sometime." You know, naturally, they desire it because they've got nothing and they're hungry for everything. Why? Because they're lazy. Won't do anything. "But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Ample because of his studies in God's Word. Because of his following God's Word, by his understanding the wisdom of God from the great book of wisdom, God's Word. Okay? It's always going to drive you and cause you to accomplish. Okay? And, this business of a sluggard, usually they feel they're a lot more than what they really are. In other words, they couldn't take just a common job. They've got to start at the top. Okay, they want the boss to fire himself and hire him in his place. Okay. That doesn't happen. Okay, and that's why he'll never have a job. And that's why he'll, I've been trying. Yes, I've been trying real hard. But the boss wouldn't quit, so I just didn't get the job because I wanted to be the boss. Well, you have to, kind of start out at a level and work yourself up. Right? And get better than anybody else, and you won't be there long. You'll be moving on up that ladder. That's the way it goes. God just doesn't really care for lazy people. Well, you might say, well, why wouldn't God care for lazy people? Because they're worthless. They're not going to. How can God use somebody that's never going to do anything? Okay. He wants somebody that can at least live for Him, study His Word. Next verse, please. Verse 5. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. In other words, a righteous man hateth deception. Okay, that's lying, deception, that leads astray. He wants truth, and he wants it straight. And sometimes people try to soften the pain just a little bit by maybe sugarcoating stuff too much. Okay. Don't do that. Speak the truth always, and that is showing love and reality. As a matter of fact, Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality. It's life every day. And so it is. Next verse, please. Verse 6. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. It'll always keep you on the right path. Otherwise, you're going to end up out in the boonies in big trouble. Okay? But wickedness, that's to say vice, overthroweth the sinner. It's his downfall. Well, what kind of vice? Well, whatever you want to call it. Drugs, alcohol, a person that can't control himself. In other words, some people have social drinks and they handle it just fine. Some people, once they start, forget it, they're out. Okay. Worthless. So always put your mind in gear. If you can't handle it, leave it alone. Okay. And always, if you can't afford it, you don't need it. Use common sense. And you'll, pretty soon you'll be able to afford it, and besides that, you'll amount to something. Verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Now here again, we've got the ratchet jaw, that he makes himself rich. Oh yes, I mean, to hear him talk, you would think he owned the world. He's got nothing. His pockets are empty, and he's worthless, okay? But a person that is wealthy, by looking at him, you might think he's poor, you know. A good person doesn't mind putting a pair of blue jeans on and getting out and doing honest work, you know what I mean? And he may decide to go down and buy a car, and if he walks in, sometimes they ignore him. I've had it happen to me. And I usually pay cash for my cars because I save up payments myself until I can pay for it, and I drive that baby off, and it's one of the best cars in the world because it's paid for. But usually if I'm shopping, I'm in jeans or something else, and sometimes people ignore people that are in work clothes, and when they do, sometimes they lose a big sale too, because people that maybe are a little humble might have more than you might think. They'll sure have more than the ratchet jaw does. Because the ratchet jaw can't hang on to anything. Here today, gone tomorrow, but boy, to listen to him, he's one rich man, okay? Rich in nonsense, okay? He likes to pretend that he's rich. Verse 8, the ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. This ransom is an interesting word. in the Hebrew, it means atonement in a way, a man that keeps stuff right, okay, that does what's right. The Hebrew word is actually covering, okay, covers everything, keeps it in line, keeps control, and you're always going to get ahead that way. But the poor heareth not rebuke. That's why they're poor. You couldn't correct them if you tried. Threatening won't do it for sure. Verse 9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Do you know why that is? Because the light of the righteous is Christ, and the light of the wicked is Satan, of course. They follow him. That lamp's going to be put out. Okay. He's going into the lake of fire. So what a waste of your soul. You will note that nephesh, which is to say soul, is worked in occasionally for the wicked, whereby reminding them you're not just dealing with the flesh body. You're dealing here with your eternal soul. And when you let wickedness or vice overcome you, you're losing your soul. Okay. Eternal life. Just throwing it away. That's not very wise, okay? Not very wise at all. Let Christ be your light and never hide it under a bushel. Okay. Verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. That's pride that will always bring you trouble. Or I could word that a different way. The results of contention, the cause of contention is always pride. That's what got Satan in trouble. But with the well advised is wisdom. And so it is. Be well advised. Well, how do I get well advised? You're reading it. It's God's Word. You could hire the greatest counselor. I'll put it a different way. You could hire the most expensive counselor in the good old U.S. of A. or anywhere else. And he could never give you as good advice as you're going to get right here from God's Word, your Father. Verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity, by fraud, shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. It's going to grow and grow and grow. But vanity or fraud, it doesn't last, you know. Anytime you come by something crooked, in the first place, it'll put you on a guilt trip. You can't sleep good at night. You're always looking over your shoulder. You're always wondering, well, did I really get away with it or not? That's not peace of mind. And really, a productive mind must have its rest. It must have its peace. And Christ brings that peace when you know what you're doing is right. And when you gain by your own labor, it's beautiful. You know why? Because you did it. You're a can-do type person. And you can sleep real good at night because you overcame. You gained when many lost. But simply your labor, the work of your hands. Okay, verse 12. Hope deferred, or putting off, maketh the heart sick. I'll put it off a little while. I hope I can get to it tomorrow. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. When it comes to pass, when instead of just hoping for it, you get out there and hump it, get it done, then certainly that's the tree of life. That'll bring you even eternal life. And of course, for all, a branch off of the real tree of life, which is to say Christ himself. Don't always defer things. That's called putting it off, okay? That won't help you. You know, when I want to tell you how you can have a lot better day than you might think. If you're really dreading something, you just got a duty in the day that you're really dreading. Do it first. Think it, plan it, get it all set. You know, get up early and think about it. Get your alternates established. And get up there. Take care of the one you're dreading first, and the rest of the day will just sail by. And you know something? With God's help, you're always going to find what you were dreading didn't amount to a hill of beans, usually. Okay? Because God takes care of what you can't. Don't put stuff off. Verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Boy, don't ever despise God's word. That hurts his feelings. But he that feareth or revereth, loveth the commandment shall be rewarded. He who is in awe of God's miraculous workings and his commandments is going to be rewarded. Why? Because God always brings blessings to those that love him. This is real, my friend. It's not just idle words. We're talking reality here, and actually telling you how both in your family and vocation to be successful. And you will, if you follow God's ruling with his blessings, you'll always succeed. Have a lot better life. Verse 14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And there's going to be some say, well, what's the law of the wise? I never heard of the law of the wise. Well, where does all wisdom come from? God. So it's God's law. Okay, right here. You got it in your hand. And that's where wisdom comes from. It's the fountain of life. It gives you vitality, vigor, and wisdom. And most of all, God's blessings. It's pretty hard to go wrong, and to part from it is the snares of death. I mean, you can't really escape it. Death can be very final if you don't have eternal life, right? That's kind of a waste, a real waste, is to leave the fountain of life and accept death as your outcome. What a waste, when you have a Father that overcame for you if you simply believe on him. Verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor. Let's say that good tact. When you use understanding and are very tactful, it brings you favor with people even. But the way of transgressors is hard. This word hard in the Hebrew means like uncultivated ground. It's hard, okay? It's hard to make a way. You sure couldn't plant a seed in it, okay? It won't grow. But if you use just a little tact, but when you utilize tact, it shows that you have compassion on people. You're not only thinking about yourself, but you're thinking about other people. That's why you find favor. You honor their feelings, and you use tact to bring a thought to them that they are receptive to, right? Because you utilize understanding, common sense, and tact. Okay, this will help you a great deal in business. You don't want to forget that. A successful person in business must be very tactful, because some people have strange ways, and you have to understand that and be very tactful to reach them and show them what honesty truly is. Verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. I mean, he really doesn't care. Every prudent man, that's to say, one that really deals with knowledge and respects it, he's going to be fine. But a fool layeth open his folly. In other words, he doesn't care. Okay, doesn't care at all. And that makes a big difference. And a prudent man never flaunts his knowledge either. Okay. That just doesn't happen. Verse 17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is help. In other words, a wicked messenger brings mischief. Why? Because usually there's no good news there. It's trouble. It's vice. It's deception. It's shortcuts that will always, there's something wrong with shortcuts. Sometimes, usually, if you're not very wise, they'll catch up with you, all right? and you'll have to take the long way anyway, or you're in deep trouble. But a faithful ambassador is health, meaning what is he an ambassador of? God's word. It brings health, it's healing, it's wisdom, it's understanding. And that ambassador is faithful in health of peace of mind, of understanding, of success, and again, most of all, God's blessings. It makes such a difference when a family has the blessings of God centered in it. Verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instructions, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. There are some people that shame will come to them because they refuse instruction. Why? They know it all. You couldn't tell them anything. You could see them driving towards a direct drop-off, a bluff. I've been this way before. I know where I'm at. Right off the edge, okay? You know, they just will not receive instruction. They know it all. And when you get a person like that, you got your hands full. And usually you need to empty them. That's to say, you're better off to be away from them if you can't wake them up. Because, why? Well, poverty and shame is going to come to them, and you don't want to get it off on you, okay? You don't need poverty, and you sure don't need shame. So, do it the other way around, and be honored, because reproof shall, from God's word, will you take advice, good advice. And again, who do you take advice from? God's word. But also, if it is vocation, you go to the most successful man in the community, the man that has been most successful in that geographical location. And let's say, especially if it's farming, you know, farming is an art, and you have to have many talents to be a farmer. You have to be a computer expert. You have to know horticulture and soil testing. Many, many things go with it. But every time you change locations, the soil changes, things change, people change. So if you're going to seek advice, go to the most successful man in the community. That's easy to spot him. He's doing real good. And sit down and talk to him. And usually a good man will spend much time giving you good, solid advice. Now, you go down here on the corner to a bunch of whittlers and ask advice down there. They don't have nothing, never have had anything, don't know anything, but they know everything. Go ahead and take advice from them, and you'll be have them move over, because you're going to be on the same bench before long. Poverty and shame follows those that know it all. Verse 19. The desire accomplisheth sweet. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, okay. But it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. They hate to give up what they're doing. They really do. It's the hardest thing in the world for them to give up the easy money. Okay. So they know it's just a little bit wrong. But desire accomplished, in other words, if you desire a business and you make it a success, or a wife, a family, and you make it successful, you've accomplished it, man, that is sweet to the soul. Why? You get it. You accomplished it. You're a can-do type person. Why? Because you have God's blessings. That is so very important. But a fool is still going to hate to give up what he thinks is the easy money when it is bitter pills. Okay? Verse 20. He and I don't mean drugs. I mean it's just bitter pills in life. Okay? That's going to follow. Verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You birds of a feather flock together. You mingle with wise people and you'll be wise, okay? But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's what's in it for you. You You cannot help but pick up or be judged with the company you run. Okay. Well, I was just there along with them. No, you were part of it. If you hang into something for all your life, mingling with rabble rousers and trouble, you're trouble. Okay. Well, you don't understand, brother. I was just there trying to help. No, you mingled with them. God's word says you're part of it, or you wouldn't be there. Okay. So don't try to fool yourself or kid yourself, and don't try to deceive other people. You know better than that. Okay. God knows better than that. You're just like who you associate with. If you're not very careful, that's what God's word says, and God's word is always true. Fools shall be destroyed. I can put that a different way. Fools always destroy themselves by examining their selves. You begin to find those bitter pills of destruction. Verse 21. Evil pursueth sinners. Misfortune, it just hunts out sinners all the time. Just going somewhere to happen. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. I mean, repaid with what? Good. You do good, you're going to be repaid with good. And that's who you mingle with again. But you let misfortune, you be a sinner, and misfortune will follow you right along, just nipping at your heels, just waiting for you to mess up. And when you mess up, it's big time. So it's so much easier to have peace of mind and have God's blessings. That's how you really get ahead, because you're not paving your life a smoother existence in the flesh, but in the eternity. When you do it God's way, you might call it double time. You're paving your life here and also in the hereafter, and that's fantastic. So, but misfortune, if you're a sinner, it's following you around just waiting for the opportunity, and don't worry, it'll happen. But how do you think that a righteous doing good are repaid with good? It's God's way. God does it. He brings blessings. And He means what He says, and He says what He means. And that's the way it is. Verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. In other words, the wealth of the sinner, it's always going to be taken up by the one that is wise. Why? Because he's got nothing. What he should have had or should have earned, he blows it. And a wise person ends up with it. Did he rip him off? No, he lost it and he recovered it with God's blessings. That's just the way life goes. And sinner is going to fall short in everything. You see, it is a shame when your faults do damage to your children. You're supposed to be a protector of your children. You're supposed to set an example for your children. But when you blow everything you got and lose it by misjudgment, by vice, by bad habits, just can't gain anything, then you got some bad problems. Okay, you really do. And so it is. A rolling stone gathers no moss, okay? And that's just the way it is. Let's go with the next verse, 23. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. But there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. In other words, if you do it right, if you till in a good way, you're gonna have good. It's gonna be good. Okay. Tillage is work. Okay. Gets it done. Can do. And it's much food. It's there. Much good as well goes along with it. But there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. In other words, for a lack of common sense, you're never going very far. I think I stated in the last lecture or the lecture before, you can be one of the better book educated persons in the world, but if you don't have common sense, you're not going very far. And you know something? A real person can spot you a mile away, but you don't make sense at all. And unfortunately, we've got a lot of professors that are just exactly that way. Okay. What they teach is simply a failing experience. You take, like, we have a lot of professors that like to teach socialism. They try to work it in. And do you know something? There is not one successful social nation in this world, and never has been. They always fail. They always fall short. But your so-called top dogs, professors, will continue dogging it because they think it's so exact. Marvelous, marvelous. And they're a bunch of failures. And they keep charging you more every year to send your children there for garbage in a lot of cases. There are some good professors, but there are just as many that are bad. Be careful, my friend, and use this record to pick your schools and professors to know what your children are going to get, okay? Next verse, 24, let's finish this chapter real quickly. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. In other words, early, before you really have to get rough or anything, correct it, okay? Let him know and show him. Always discuss it. Let him know why you make a certain decision or why it's bad for him. 25, the righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Well, he doesn't have anything and will never have anything because he's a ratchet jaw and know-it-all, or he's lazy. That chapter pretty well sums it up. Want a good vocation? Do it God's way and receive God's blessings. Okay, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. It's good and bad again, but it helps you in life. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's Word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Haman Gog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it. The book of Ezekiel.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. Spirit moves. You got a question? Share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, religion. Let's don't judge people. That's not our privilege or right. We teach God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Never apologize for the Word of God, and let the chips fall wherever they may, period. Okay. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you a mailing address. And we know that one of our greatest outreaches is in China, and we certainly... Our hearts go out to you all there, and we know that you're having a terrible time at this time, as well as other parts of the world, that people are kind of held in bondage, and we just ask our Father's blessings upon them. You got a prayer request? Well, let's do it together and let our Father know. You don't need that number and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. Okay. He does. He loves you and He wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to Him. Not some long written out prayer by man, but from your heart, He wants to know that you love Him. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. Elizabeth from California. How do we follow the law of Christ and the laws of the Old Testament in reference to murders and things like that? Well, naturally, we have to obey civil law. But our civil law demands capital punishment for criminal homicide. And criminal homicide is why we have the jury-type trials, to decide whether it was criminal homicide or a crime of passion or imbalance. Okay, they all have different meanings in God's Word. Okay, but God demands capital punishment for someone that lies in wait and knows better for a criminal homicide, and it's supposed to be carried through. And it is done, but you have to do it legally and we have to do it by law. Unfortunately, I feel it's way too lax that it takes 20 years to bring about an execution. It didn't take the murderer 20 years to murder somebody. And once it is documented that they're guilty, the sentence should be carried out publicly so that others will see and fear, and these things will stop happening among us. When a criminal sees what happens to a criminal, okay, that makes an impression. That's a deterrent of crime, okay, you know. That's God's way. That's not my way. God says you do it and don't have any guilt. Put the guilt on me, and these others will see, and these things will stop happening among you. Numbers 35, Deuteronomy chapter 19. Good documentation. Ed from Oklahoma. How do you know when and how to plant a seed? I have friends who don't quite believe the same way we do, and I would like to introduce them to my beliefs without running them off. Well, just drop a small seed. Only God can make it grow. If it doesn't grow, then if they are friends, they don't have to believe it. There's nothing written in law that everybody's going to believe the same anyway. If they're not God's elect, they're not going to believe like you do necessarily. Someone with free will can see truth, though. But you have to plant that seed and see whether, when you let the seed grow, do you understand what that's doing? That's letting God choose who He wants. That's letting God choose who it is He would want to see the truth. And do it gently, very gently. Maria from Tennessee. What does the Bible say about removing demons or evil spirits? I believe my son might be having trouble with this. He acts like he wants to harm or maybe kill us. There is something very wrong. Well, you know, you need to find out. Many times there are toxic imbalances in this generation especially, and there are counselors. Your county would always, I don't know what county you're in, but all counties have counselors to help children that have mental, or you think might be mental. If it is demons and you think it's evil spirits, then take the oil of our people, and if you can't anoint him, then anoint his pillow and ask God to keep anything evil. Anoint the doorpost of your home and in Christ's name order anything evil out, not to pass that threshold, even in your son. Because if he has an evil spirit and you invite him in, you invite him in. So, but I have a feeling that you need to seek a counselor. You know, and it's not a great deal of money. Usually, when if you can't afford this counseling, They break it down to where maybe it's just 50 cents a bit. And I'm saying, I'm talking now about an area that I do not know if this is available in your area, but I'm sure it is. And they will help you. It could be that he simply has a chemical imbalance and he can be helped. And you need to do that. Rhonda from Nevada, Nebraska. What denomination is Shepherd's Chapel? We're non-denomination. We're Bible teachers. That's all, period. Do you have branches? No, we do not have branches. This is it. We are Bible teachers. We teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, period. We are a Christian, and Christianity is not a religion, but a reality. It's real life. If you want God's blessings, just stay in His Word, and you'll have it. Teresa from Pennsylvania. Who is the Holy Spirit, and because my mother died, does that mean she can become everyone has a spirit there, okay? And sorry that you lost your mother. But know where she is. She's with the Father. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, okay? And it's the Spirit of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. But everybody, you, Teresa, have a spirit. Now, it can be good or it can be bad, okay? But the Holy Spirit, of course, is the Spirit of God. Your mother has always had a spirit. And I trust it was a good one. And yes, you can rest assured she is with the Father. Dorothy from Georgia. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, since Jesus calls us being asleep the same as being dead, how can the dead or the sleeping ones be awake and alive on one side or the other of the gulf? Well, Dorothy, you missed the whole teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 35. You're of the opinion we only have one body, and that's not true. We have two bodies. And this body goes to sleep and goes back to dirt.
Okay.
It never comes back away from the ground. It's there as it's written in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And it's forgotten. Why? Because it's dirt. But instantly, as it is written in 1 Corinthians 15, your spiritual body, which is your real self, quite frankly, steps out of this, the spiritual body, and returns to the Father that gave it. So and this body is asleep, and it's going to stay that way.
Okay.
But what you missed the whole point. What does it say in that 13th verse? It says, if you believe Christ rose from the dead, you better believe that those that the flesh is asleep have risen also. Okay. So what you're saying is, when you quote the 13th verse, you're saying you don't believe Christ rose, because they have risen with Him. They rise first. Why? Because they're already gone.
Right.
I think you need to do a home study again of 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 38, and understand we have two bodies. We have an earthly body and we have a heavenly body. Okay. Kathleen from Tennessee. If we can help our family in the millennium, what happens to those family where there is no one saved to help the others? Well, God has one family. And you have to trust our Father to know that He is always fair, always has been, He always will be. And it is a privilege of one of God's elect, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 44, along about verse 20 through 25, that one of God's elect can go. They can't decide for a relative. All they can do is correct them, give advice. Whether it's taken or not, that's the person's business. Okay. Don't ever think for a minute that anybody can take the place of someone and overcome for them. You can't do that. We don't want anyone in heaven that doesn't earn the right to be there. I'll say that a little differently. We don't want anyone in the eternity that might be a troublemaker. If they can't cut it on their own, if they can't make it on their own, we don't want them there. Okay. We don't want to go through all this again. We want them out of here, gone. So God always sees that everybody has an opportunity to make their own mind up. And even when we go to help someone, that doesn't mean we can overcome for them. Okay? So let that be settled. Joseph from West Virginia. Is Daniel chapter 7 related to Revelation 13? Well, all of Daniel is a... Revelation is an overlay of the book of Daniel. Okay? It is the revelation in the Old Testament. And for one, there's other places. There is the revelation of Isaiah, even. The apocalypse, I should say, of Isaiah. But it is an overlay. And what happens there, basically... The false one comes in peacefully and prosperously. This is what's going to deceive a lot of people. They're thinking the Antichrist has got a pitchfork and he's forking them right into hell when he's a preacher. Okay. I mean, you've got to watch preachers. Okay. You've got to watch teachers. If they don't teach God's Word as it's written, you see, even Satan... preached God's Word. That's how he tempted Christ. Matthew chapter 4, he used Scripture to try to deceive Christ. But do you know what he did? He twisted them on the end just a little bit. And do you know something? Most Christians would be ignorant of how Satan twisted them. Meaning he could do the same thing to you if you're not careful. That's why you want to know his M.O. And be real good about it, okay? Revelation and the book of Daniel run hand in hand. That's why I usually teach, when I teach one, I usually teach the other following. Luis from West Virginia, I'm sorry, Wyoming. If there is no gender in the next earth age, does that mean that God has no gender? He made us in his image. Does that mean our spirit or our flesh? He made us in his image for this earth age, not the next. Okay, not the next. Andres from California. Andreas, I probably should say. I'm a new Christian, and I wanted to know if I watch your program on a regular basis, do I still have to physically attend a church? You're in church. We are a church. Now, you're blessed if you can find a local church that teaches chapter by chapter and verse by verse where you can fellowship. Otherwise, we're fellowshipping through the ether waves. That's spiritually, that's all of us gathering together in spirit to study God's Word, the Holy Spirit. And so it is. You're in church when you're studying with us. Bobby from Virginia, where are the churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia, and how would a person find them, and what churches are they? Well, it's naturally... by that name, they do not any long, they no longer exist under that title. But what you look for is the content. Number one, they're the only two churches Christ found no fault with. Therefore, those two churches are teaching something that you'd better know. And the fact, what is it that both of them teach? They teach those who claim to be of our brother Judah but are the synagogue of Satan. That means they're Kenites, Satan's children. You got to know who the Kenites are. Why? Because within that lies the key of David, as the Church of Philadelphia brings forth, that unlocks doors that nobody can close, and it closes doors that no one can unlock. In other words, the truth always prevails. So you look for a church that teaches who the Kenites are, or you're in deep trouble, okay? You're standing in the end time generation, perhaps about to be deceived, because you haven't studied God's Word. That's why you need to know and study with somebody that teaches what both of those churches taught. And that's the thing they had in common, as well as other things. Tina from Oregon. My husband is a new believer, and he wanted to know who created God. Iya Asha Iya is what he said. My name is. It's I am that I am. He is whoever he wishes to be, wherever he wishes to be, in whatever body he wishes to be. He's our Father. And that's just something that he is that he is, period. No one created him. He is. Jennifer from Ohio. I'm a new Christian and I'm trying to study the Bible, but I don't know where to start. Can you help me? Well, study along with us, okay? Actually, if you order from our chapel the Mark of the Beast tape, which is free, we will send you a new beginner's list of suggested studies. And when you receive that, then after that you can pick the studies you wish to make. And they will not be free, but they are only about what the material costs to do the lecture. Okay? So that'll get you started. But you don't even have to do that. You can just study along with us. And God's Word is the same. Yesterday it is today and it shall be forever. Carl from Alabama. Where in the Bible does it say, don't teach my people to fly away? Well, it's written in Ezekiel chapter 13. If you begin reading about verse 18, he says the daughters of Jerusalem sew these kerchiefs, it's pillow slips actually, and place them over my outreaching saving arms, and they teach people to fly to save their souls. And so you'll find it written right there. And what does God say about it? He says, I'm against it. He doesn't like it. Why? Well, naturally, because he wants to do the saving. He is the Savior, period. And if you take lies and deception and cover his saving arms and teach people a bunch of malarkey about flying away, then that's wrong. That's Satan's message. Well, I thought the word rapture was in the Bible. No, it is not. The word rapture is never, not in the manuscripts or anywhere else, unless some man has put it there, okay, in a commentary. Not there. Okay. Why? We put on the gospel armor and stay here to fight against the fiery darts of Satan, which is the Antichrist. Andrea from Georgia. I'm 23 years old, and before I gave my life over to the Lord, I got tattoos. Will I go to heaven? Well, I would hope so. Where is it written that tattoos will send you to hell? I've never read it, and I've read the Bible in many languages. So, you see, you've been listening to the wrong person. Until you see it in God's Word, don't. A lot of people would like to steal your treasure, and it's heaven bound, okay? So, I realize there are many times that tattoos you may regret it later in later life, but God cares about what's up here between your ears. That's to say, your very being, your thought process, whether you love Him or not. That's what's important. It's your love for Him that causes you to overcome, not something physical on your body. Bob from New York, which Bible is the true Bible? Is it the King James? Well, the true Bible is the manuscripts, okay? And the King James comes from the manuscripts. This is why that I highly recommend the Companion Bible, because it is a King James. But it is worked up by one of the greatest Christian scholars that in recent time, I'm going back to the 1900s, even 1800s, a fantastic scholar put it together along with other people and brings out part of the manuscripts, especially the Masora, which is a work that locks in the scripture where man can't change it. And he was a great scholar of that. As a matter of fact, he was the only Christian that was allowed or requested to proofread part of the Masora by Christian Ginsburg. Okay? And a fantastic scholar. That's why I recommend that particular King James Bible called the Companion Bible, which we have in our library. Excuse me. But the King James will, with Dr. Strong's work, his concordance, gives you the ability as an English speaker to take any word listed in God's Word back to the Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic to get the multi-means, okay, where you can decide for yourself. It's fantastic study tools. I highly recommend them. Lynn from New York. Do you think we should prepare ourselves with a bomb shelter? Why in the world would you prepare yourself with a bomb shelter? Okay. You might prepare yourself with a storm cellar. That might be advisable if you live in Tornado Alley. That might help. But God protects America. Okay. Now I realize some terrorists kind of made a little attack, but you know, I've been in combat in a few times, a little bit in World War II and quite a bit in North Korea, and war is bad. It's real bad, you know. But we're not going to have open war here in the United States of America. We'll always stop it overseas as long as we keep the right people making decisions. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? Love you all a bunch. Why? Because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for that. He sure does. You make His day, guess what? He's going to make yours. Okay? We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God, He will always bless you. But I'm going to share something with you that's very important. Don't you ever forget it. I want you to stay in His Word. Every day in His Word.